of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Our Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins, and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 122 responsively. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself. For there are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Be within your walls, and quietness within your towers. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good.
Glory to God.
Reading from Romans. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of life.
According to Matthew, Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Last week, the Pope wrote a document, a letter to all of the Christian world. And the title of this document is The Joy of the Gospel. And in this rather lengthy document, Pope Francis urges everyone, especially preachers, to focus less on law, more on joy, less on guilt, more on grace, less on the church, and more on Christ. But my favorite thing that he said is, you should not be sourpusses. He wrote this letter in Spanish, and the translation is not to have a face of vinegar. So I think sourpuss is the right translation. That's how it came out in English. You should not be a sourpuss when you're preaching and when you're reading the gospel. So how do we hear this gospel that I just read without having a face of vinegar, without being a sourpuss? How can we begin this season of Advent with more joy than law, with more grace than guilt, with more sugar than vinegar? I went to Virginia last week to celebrate Thanksgiving with my sister and her family. Lisa met me at the airport and gave me a coat and a hat and gloves. It was 24 degrees. She gave me a coat to put on against the cold. I certainly welcomed the extra blankets at night and the sweater that she laid out for me to wear during the day. I know that not only did I put on extra layers of clothing, I'm pretty sure I put on a pound or two as we started celebrating the holiday feasting. But as St. Paul said in this letter to the Romans, and Jesus warns in this letter, in this Gospel of Matthew, all the things that we put on at this time of year can make it difficult for us to clothe ourselves with Christ. How do we find joy in Paul's warnings about drunkenness and debauchery, and in Jesus reminding us that we never know when the end is coming? How do we find joy there? Here's one time that I really do agree with the Pope. We should look for more joy and be less of a sourpuss on this first Sunday in Advent. We want to put on the mantle of joy in this season. We want festival clothes, not sackcloth and ashes. We don't want to feel guilty when we're looking at the glitter of decorations and wrappings and trees and festival lights. While many of us claim that we really like the Advent season, it is the hardest time for us to hold off on celebrating for four more weeks while we try to embrace this season of waiting before we put on the carols and give the presents and revel in the festivity of this one Christian holiday that gets the whole world celebrating. In our gospel today, despite its almost threatening tone, Jesus is saying, be prepared. Our lives as Christians are not measured only by our attendance at church or by an assent to certain beliefs and doctrines, but more importantly, how we live our ordinary lives, simply eating and drinking, working and living together. Our faith is about how Jesus, born as a helpless babe, helps us to believe, to live love and forgiveness and hope every day of our lives. This sense of preparation, of not knowing when it is that we will most need to be ready, this is not meant to scare us. It's intended to remind us that the kingdom of heaven is everywhere, even in the simple things, even when we least expect it. We need this Advent reminder because our regular life, even though we want it to be otherwise, our regular life forces us to put on other things besides the armor of light, besides the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on debt. We put on extra pounds. We put on distractions and all sorts of things that can feel like so much darkness in this season. How do we get to the joy of Advent, to the light of Christ in our lives? First, we have to get ready. The armor of light that Paul writes about is a snug fit. So we have to remove some extra layers in order to be able to fit in that light of Christ. Paul says to remove the extra layers of the works of darkness. In order to put on the joy of this season, there are things that we first have to take off. And the Advent season gives us time and space to do that. We have to take off our fear and anxiety that weigh us down, that we lug around like so much extra luggage, that we try to convince ourselves that we really need. But really, in this season, all we need sometimes is just a little bit of silence, a bit of quiet time in order to unburden ourselves, unburden our hearts, take off those things that are troubling us. We have to take off our sense of entitlement. Even while we're enjoying the comforts of this time of year, this is the time to take off the blinders and realize that every day there are those who have nothing. There are those who have nothing to put on for the holidays. No calendar full of parties and events. No halls decked with holly. No warm clothes. No reason for joy. We have to think of them first. Gifts for the poor should be at the very top of our list of gift giving. We have to take off our guilt, too. This season is not about being ashamed of our abundance. It is a season that we are called into sharing. It's about taking off the burden of too much and letting that be the source of plenty for others. And we can add, each of us could add from our own list of addictions and distorted dreams that we really should take off while we're at it. The pressure to be the perfect holiday host. The striving to find the perfect gift at the exact right price so you can be equal to whoever gave you that certain gift or a gift last year. Or making sure that all of your kids and in-laws and whoever you give get exactly the same amount. Let that pressure go. Let go of those grudges that seem to show up, especially at this season. There are things that we really should take off if we want to put on the armor of light. We do have to take off some things. The armor of light is a snug fit, holds us close, fills us completely, no room for these other things. To put on the armor of light is to rejoice that we have looked right into the darkness and found the promise that we are not alone. We will not be left alone in our suffering. There will be hope and peace and love. That's the promise, and it is that promise that we can find joy in this season. So for these 4 weeks of Advent, we put on the light, one candle at a time. We listen for reminders to take off those things that we don't need and put on the things that we really do need. The light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the blanket of truth. Put on the mantle of hope. Put on the cloak of the promise of joy. Put on the armor of light, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.